Dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I invite you to join with me in reflecting upon the gospel reading we have before us today, which I read a few moments ago from Matthew chapter 9. We have before us that story where Jesus went back to what is probably Capernaum, his base of operations, and was at the house. A large crowd was gathered, and four men brought a friend of theirs who was, or maybe a family member, who was paralyzed or wasn't able to walk, carrying him on some sort of a stretcher or small bed, and bringing him to Jesus. And then something wonderful happens. I wonder if you're thinking, oh yeah, he made the lame man walk. Well, yeah, that's wonderful. But that's not what I was talking about. What is the wonderful thing Jesus did that I am talking about? He said to him, your sins are forgiven. Now, we talked about this text in Bible class this morning, and we noticed that the way the flow of the story goes, there might be a little bit of a disconnect, or what Jesus said to the man, your sins are forgiven, may be a little bit unusual, not what we would have expected to speak to the man who couldn't walk. Because I suppose the friends of his and the man himself came to Jesus for physical healing. For Jesus then to say, your sins are forgiven, may surprise us. Why does Jesus say that? Well, we talked about a few things in Bible class, but I can't repeat all of that here. But I think maybe one thing is that Jesus wants us to focus on what our biggest need is, and that is the forgiveness of our sins. In the scripture's way of looking at our reality and our existence, why are things going physically wrong in our world? It's because of sin. So in ultimate terms, in ultimate reality, in dealing with our ultimate problems, which is what Jesus came to do, he says to him, your sins are forgiven. And thereby he addresses and takes care of the root ground problem of our existence and our world. Now, what's this text really about? I submit to you, it's not about the healing per se. The healing was meant to demonstrate something, but the text is really about, the story is really about verse 6. And then maybe at the end, verse 8, where Jesus in verse 6 says, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, rise, take up your bed, and go home. But that you may know the Son of Man, that is Jesus, has authority on earth to forgive sins. That is the point of our text. And Matthew tells us that at the end, where he says, the people glorified God who had given such authority, that is the authority to forgive sins, to men. That is, among us human beings. And friends, this is wonderful. It really is. And in this, you have a great treasure, in fact, your greatest treasure. And that is that Jesus speaks in our hearing, in your hearing, and gives to you here in your place the assurance of the forgiveness of sins. Now, why is that so wonderful? I think to really, well, you probably realize it already, but in terms of my sermon, To get at that, let's think about the objection. There's an objection in our text, and it comes from some of the scribes who were dedicated themselves to the study of the Old Testament scripture. And they have an objection. They're thinking in themselves when Jesus says that Jesus is blaspheming, doing something really wrong when it comes to God. Mark tells us that what they're concerned about is that Jesus, being a human being, is taking upon himself the prerogative to forgive sins. And only God can do that. Only God can forgive sins. So this man is taking upon himself divine prerogative, and therefore he is blaspheming. What do you think about that objection? Actually, I think for a lot of people in our world today, that probably makes a whole lot of sense. But maybe for different reasons. What would be objections today? Maybe we do hear a lot. No human being on earth has the authority to forgive sins. Only God can do that. Well, and that's probably ultimately true. But that doesn't tell us how God does it. But then if God can't, through a man, Jesus, come into our time and place and speak to us with human speech the forgiveness of our sins, then how else are we going to know that God forgives us? And think about this when you're really being hard-pressed in your life and the life is pressing on you in such a way that you really need to know and be sure of what God thinks of you and whether God really forgives you or not. How are you going to be sure? So if he can't, in the voice of Jesus, speak forgiveness to you, then what are your options? Maybe you're sure, we talked about this in Bible class too, maybe you'd be sure by how you feel. You're sure that God forgives me by how I feel. I feel good. But does that ultimately work? There were some wise observations made that if we base the assurance of what God thinks of us and how we feel, then when we're really being hard-pressed, we are actually not feeling so good. And then we may actually, in the pressure and stress of our lives, start feeling really bad. And then the whole basis of being assured in our feelings gets shattered. Maybe we then think, okay, yeah, feelings aren't a good foundation for being assured of our forgiveness. Maybe my works are. So if I just do really good, I just be a really good person, and I rack up a whole bunch of good works, then I must be sure that God's working through me and that God must be pleased with me and that God must forgive me and accept me and love me. But then, let's say we stumble. We say that one thing out of our immediate emotional response of anger to someone that we know we shouldn't say. Or we do something that we know we shouldn't have done. And that whole framework of being assured of our forgiveness and good works gets shattered. Collapses. Ah, but then there was another wise observation in Bible class this morning that if we think that we've racked up a whole bunch of good works, then we also think the result should happen, that our lives should really be good, that bad things shouldn't be happening to us, that everything should be great. But then we know life isn't really like that. There's a number of different ways things can get really difficult. Economically, maybe we lose our jobs. or we end up having difficulties with our employer, or maybe difficulties with an employee, and things get difficult. Maybe things are going wrong with our own bodies. We're sick. It's not supposed to be this way if God loves me and forgives me. So how are we going to be sure? The problem is that we cannot, if we try to grasp God in his nature and his omnipotence, we just can't do it. God is invisible, he's almighty, but how do you grab hold of God? I just tried to grab the air. God's here, he's invisible. How do I grab hold of him to say, what do you think of me? Do you forgive me? Do you love me? How can I be sure? When we think about what Jesus did, in light of all of that, then we realize just how wonderful this is and what's going on. Jesus healed the man by a word of his command. Who has the power to do that? God alone does. But yet we see there a man, Jesus. So what has happened? God the Son has come from the glory of the Father. He's taken on our flesh. He's stepped into our time and place, into the time and place of those very real people 2,000 years ago. And he spoke forgiveness to a man, which is the ultimate healing of his existence. He spoke it with words. He spoke it into his ears so he could hear it. And he spoke it with all the authority and command of God himself. But the wonderful thing is, he came in to that time and place as a human being and spoke it in their ears. So they don't have to try to go looking for God in his invisible omnipotence where we can't find him. And so they don't have to go looking for the assurance of God's forgiveness in their own feeling, which is not stable. And they don't have to go looking for God in the assurance of their works, which fail. And then in results, which often go against us. Friends, this is why this text is so wonderful. Jesus, God's Son, comes into our world and speaks God's forgiveness to you. And now he does that in our time and place here, through the ministry of the church, through the pastor speaking forgiveness to you, through God's arrangement where the pastor or another Christian splashes water on your head in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit and applies to you personally the salvation Christ won, the forgiveness of your sins. And he gives his body and blood to you for the forgiveness of sins to assure you that God the Father forgives you. And that forgiveness is eternal and everlasting and cannot be taken away. And as Luther teaches us in the Small Catechism with respect to the sacrament of the altar, he says, where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. So rejoice today, dear Christian, of this treasure you have. In Jesus Christ, God comes into your midst and speaks to you forgiveness, and that you can count on forever. Amen.